Governor Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Here.
We have a forum.
Thank you. Great, thank you. We could just digress a moment here before we start. I wanted to recognize one of our employees today who did an excellent job protecting our motorists. And as you know, that's a top priority for us here at the Illinois Tollway. This morning, we'd like to recognize and thank Illinois Tollway equipment operator Nick Carr, who's here with us today from our maintenance and traffic division. Nick has been with the Tollway since 2008. In the early hours of April 10th, Tollway Dispatch in the Illinois State Police District 15 received several calls from drivers about a vehicle traveling westbound in the eastbound lanes of I-90 near Lee Street. After spotting the wrong way driver using roadway cameras, Tollway Dispatch sent word to the troopers and maintenance staff on the road. Nick was performing maintenance duties when the alert came through and a short time later observed the wrong way driver traveling in the inside lane on I-90 approaching the Bussey Road overpass. Nick responded quickly, activating the emergency yellow lights on his truck and swiftly moving to the inside lane to get the driver's attention and signal him to stop. Due to Nick's quick action, the driver began slowing down and eventually pulled over alongside the median wall shoulder where the state police took over the scene and brought a safe conclusion to what could have been something very, very dangerous happening on our system. So we all wanted to take the time to thank Nick in particular, and of course always District 15 staff for their hard work as well. But you know, it's certainly an incident that we've heard a lot about wrong way drivers, particularly recently, and we were happy that this incident could have ended much worse, and we're happy also that you weren't hurt, because of course that could have been the result too, you know, not knowing why somebody's traveling the wrong way and whether they're going to be responsive to your actions. So thank you very much. I want to thank you.
Represent the kinds of people, all the people who work at the tollway. Great.
And there's certainly other examples of people who do tremendous work for us and, you know, help people in very dangerous situations every day. So thank you again for all of your hard work. Looks like you're getting back to work.
You all received copies of the regular board minutes and the executive session minutes, and I'm sorry the executive session minutes came out a little bit late this week, but I would, unless there are any concerns, I would entertain a motion to approve both sets of minutes.
Motion approved.
Okay. Thanks.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Now we'll do the committee reports, and interspersed with those will be a couple of presentations. Much of the work today, I think, is going to be done in There will be a longer than usual executive session. I think we have a series of things that will be taking place there, so this agenda in open session is a little bit shorter than usual. We're not going to rush through it because we do have plenty of time, but I just wanted people to know that there are a number of important things going to take up the executive session. Okay, so let's start with a report from the Audit Committee. Director Gonzalez.
Thank you, Chair. The Audit Committee met on March 22nd. Chief Internal Auditor Mike Fidali gave us an update on the internal audit. We went over the 2011 internal audit cycle audit findings. We had six findings that were material. In terms of internal audit, I don't believe they'll be material when it comes to the external audit, because our internal audits are such a higher standard than the external audit. Five of them dealt with the operation of assigned vehicles, and even those were only really because we need to update our manuals with our vehicles. So That was the result of those findings. It's just a matter of updating our manuals. We also went over the 2012 external audit. The field work is underway. It'll be from February to May, and we expect the final external audit report done by June of 2012. And we also went over the calendar and the activities that will be scheduled for the 2012 internal audit as well. That concludes my report.
Thank you. And you all know me well enough now to know I'm a worrier. And I have, this was our first audit committee when we had both Chair Gonzalez and the internal auditor sort of focus on some specific substantive things. And I am no longer going to worry about the audit function. I'm still going to be attentive, but I feel really good about this combination of people. And I think we have a very strong audit function. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, and we did make the 2011 internal audit findings available for the board, so you can see exactly what the issues were with the internal audit. And again, they are material in terms of the internal audit, but very, very minor findings that they did find, and it's excellent work that they're doing. So when our external audit does come out, we catch our own problems before the external auditors come out.
The manual changes that you had talked about when it related to the vehicle policy.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have proposals on that, or do we have something pending?
I think we've already made some revisions. This is our internal manual that we use. So, you know, things like just the record, not record keeping as much as just kind of the paperwork and what gets signed off. I know we had the fuel card.
And actual communication did go out in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
That the manual is officially updated on Crossroads, ready for distribution, but they're going to be hard copy buyers that will print it out as well.
All right.
Do you want to see those, Director Redd?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Maybe you can make sure that Director Redd can see this, what went out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for following up on that. Any other questions on audit? Okay, strategic planning, Director Weisner, who drove up from Springfield this morning. We are very proud of him.
You ever heard my report? Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah. I was just covering for you.
Initially, I'd just like to cover the noise abatement policy, which the committee has taken up over the last several meetings, really, and gone through a prolonged process and a public process as well to try to refine that policy, and that was ultimately approved last week at the final policy, which I think was, again, just mainly some refinements and clarifications. That was approved at our meeting last week. In terms of workforce diversity, we got a report on that, talked about that a bit. Both the tollway itself and the strategic advisory team that's been working with the tollway are basically reaffirming that prioritization of workforce diversity. We have, in fact, a new mission statement, and I'll read that briefly. If you don't mind, the Illinois Tollway values the diversity of its workforce, continually strives to improve access to employment opportunities, retain talented staff. It is important that our workforce is representative of the culturally diverse communities we serve. We celebrate our differences and embrace our similarities because we recognize that they make our team stronger, more innovative, and more competitive. I think that says it pretty well, actually. But in line with that, in terms of recruitment, we're making a very big effort, I think, in recent months relative to outreach. I know Director Gonzalez had some folks out from the tollway and exactly that purpose, and I think you felt that was very successful. Realizing that and not wanting to get behind a mayor here myself, but I think outreach is a very important aspect of what we're doing, and I think it's paying dividends already. We're looking at job qualifications, making sure that they're not unnecessarily ambiguous, if they're narrowly tailored. We're using a data-driven approach to examine the entire selection process, get those ambiguities, get those subjectivities out of the process as much as possible. And we're doing exit interviews, et cetera, and internships. What we're trying to do is work on retention as well. And I think some numbers that I looked at, we talk about parity, which means trying to reflect the workforce outside of, around us within the tollway itself. And when we talk about underutilization, that basically talks about the difference between us and what the parity level would be. And those that underutilization, I think, dropped at about 30% as far as African-American workforce goes for the tollway just in the last several months. And in the Latino sector, it's somewhere around 21.5% underutilization dropped as well. That's in a period when we're not doing a lot of hiring, so I think it's a significant achievement. We're pleased to see that as well. Does anybody have any questions on that? Lisa, do you have anything to add?
Well, there are some successes, too.
Go ahead.
Did you want to talk about those?
Go ahead. You do a little break. Was that going to come with?
No, we were planning on pulling some of the slides from the other presentation.
Sure.
But
okay. Did
you want to talk about those?
Sure. Well, we just had some in the applicant pools. Our applicant pools have been very diverse recently, and our new hire pools have been very diverse. Two quarters ago, 40% minority. Last quarter, 2% minority. They've been hired at all levels of the agency. So we're encouraged.
Okay. So I think we're making good progress. There's always more to do, but I think we're in the right direction here. We also had, and I'm trying to make sure we sequence this right, we had joint committee meeting with our administrative financial group subcommittee as well. Talked a little bit about procurement and diversity in that sense. Is that something that you want me to talk about, or is that
sure.
going to be reported on?
Well, we do have, and we're prepared to run through a couple of the highlight slides from that presentation that we give. I don't know if you want to provide a little context, but we do have that available if you'd like us to go through those.
Just briefly, I think that one of the things that we've discovered is that there's certainly a benefit to unbundling some of our bids in terms of the size, unbundling larger bids so that we can reach smaller contractors, and that the greater number, the $0 to $5 million contracts, so we're some, I think, 42 or more unique bidders on that, that drops significantly as the price of the project or as the number of the project goes up. So it would appear that there'd be some advantages to reaching small businesses through unbundling, and by reaching small businesses, I think we'd be more likely to reach minority businesses as well in that process. But the procurement process that has recently been approved through the state that we're subject to creates a lot of difficulties in terms of being able to unbundle because of the simple length of time. And we could lose as much as $500 million over the course of our capital projects by getting significantly slowed down in terms of getting out to bid and getting bids awarded. So I think we'll go through a little bit more of that, but that was certainly a significant issue that we saw that it's kind of a tug of war to some extent between those two issues. We'd like to unbundle, but we also have some difficulties in being able to meet our needs and expectations in the capital plan if we do so.
Do we want to go through run through a couple of slides of the presentation? We don't have to spend too much time, but just so everybody's up to speed.
Okay. So quite a few of the directors this morning were present last week, so if you have a slight sense of deja vu, I just ask for your forgiveness. We'll try to shorten the presentation from last week to a manageable size this morning. So today I hope to provide you with information on our department, our efforts to enhance diversity, and on the Tollways Diversity Strategic Development Roadmap. The collaboration with engineering, communications, finance, procurement, and other tollway departments in exploring options to enhance diversity is critical to obtaining comprehensive information to inform our decisions going forward. This morning, Paul and Mike will also join us in providing context on the topics of unbundling and insurance. I will start with a brief overview of the Diversity and Strategic Development Department. The enlightened vision of the Tollways Board and Executive Director LaFleur shaped the creation of the Diversity and Strategic Department. It is now evident, just a few short months after the official creation of this department, that you had a clear purpose to elevate and enhance the Tollways diversity function and have it be of an appropriate magnitude congruent with the importance and size of Move Illinois. My department's objective speaks to the importance this board and the executive director place on increasing access to economic opportunities for target businesses as well as individuals. Our goals are aimed to be responsive to such targets. Currently, the 12 diversity programs are our main areas of daily focus. Each of the programs is intended to respond to the goals listed on the slide. Specifically, the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise DBE program for construction and professional services increases access to economic opportunity by customizing DBE goals to each individual contact. To build capacity, training, and technical assistance, the Mentor for OJ program, which the TOLWE created in an effort to help MW and DBE professional service consultants, develops and builds necessary technical and business skills. One way we create effective partnerships is through the Earned Credit Program, or its acronym ECP. This voluntary bidding center, local hiring program for disenfranchised individuals also benefits contractors, subcontractors, and unions. To this end, we work closely with community partners engaged in pre-apprenticeship programs to identify qualified individuals for participation in the ECP. Finally, to foster transparency and accountability through efficient communication, the diversity department places emphasis on networking and outreach. During the Listen and Learn tour conducted over the last 3 months with over 22 industry and advocate groups, we received valuable feedback on priorities that construction and professional services vendors hold critical to a truly diversified capital improvement initiative. The overall message from contractors that came through my department's Listen and Learn tour is that the vendor community wants the contracting challenges reduced and contracting opportunities increased. We heard that contract size is important to small business bidders. We were asked to review opportunities to unbundle as well as finding and bidding smaller contracts by specialty. Just as important was the message that a pipeline that provides growth to be created so that as contractors build capacity, larger opportunities are present. Similarly, we heard abundantly about bonding and insurance hurdles. We learned this issue is front and center to the contracting community. Regarding training and technical capacity, we heard appeals to help build capacity. We are also looking for additional ways to make our work sites more diverse. 12-week work site diversity programs currently include the Mentor Project program. Agreements are being explored for options to offer tier percent credit tied to contract size. And here also, ECP is an example of innovation and collaboration with community agencies, unions, and contractors. I will now pass on the presentation to Paul and Mike and come back quickly to wrap it up.
Okay. Diversity in engineering, been working very closely, and we actually conducted a few unbundling workshops with the vendors. I think we had three or four of those. Mm-hmm. And we understand unbundling is creating more opportunities and trying to create a range of jobs in of various sizes so that we're maximizing the opportunities for people to bid on our work. We did some analysis of our own contracts, and from what we heard from the vendors is that, you know, they feel they can really participate in jobs if we keep them, you know, in the $0 to $5 million range. So that was key. And when we did the analysis of how we have been advertising projects, at least under the previous congestion relief program, we saw that really about 80% of the professional service contracts are in that $0 to $5 million range, and 40% of our contracts by number in the construction side were in that $0 to $5 million range. So it seemed like we were providing the opportunities on the professional service side, and maybe, you know, we could look harder on the construction side, and that was our primary focus. And we also have to balance that against our safety concerns and what we think we can actually manage and deliver as far as the number of contracts. So we did hear from them about the $0 to $5 million range. Size was not the only factor that they considered to be one of their primary concerns. Location of the job also figures into it. They knew that they would be much more competitive bidding on work closer to the Chicagoland area where more businesses are located than they would be competing on jobs, you know, in some of the farther western sections of our system. So we did hear that. And also I thought the director did a good summary. The biggest challenge that we're facing right now is on the procurement side, and that those challenges are actually working against some of the things that we want to accomplish with our unbundling task. So I moved to this slide to give you an idea of the number of contracts that are actually coming out every year in the construction area in the $0 to $5 million range. So under the CRP, we averaged about 13 construction contracts in that range per year. We know the Illinois program is slightly bigger, but using the same percentages, we would expect that, you know, we would be putting out at least 15 contracts per year in that range. However, based on our procurement challenges, it's taken 2 to 3 times longer to get our contracts actually executed. And the only way to really mitigate that risk is to try to do less contracts. So just doing the simple math and cutting it down, you know, if it takes 3 times longer to get it notice to proceed, you know, we would have to reduce our exposure by 1/3. So now it cuts down that average from 15 to 5. And it's working against us not only in the number of contracts, but it's also working against us in the dollar values. This slide right here, you can see how we would address this risk. The blue line indicates the dollars that we spent in the various categories of work. On the bottom of the slide, we have the 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, and so on. And on the vertical axis, we have the dollar values. The blue line represents how we rolled out the CRP program, the congestion relief program. The green line indicates what we could potentially do under the Move Illinois program, just doing the same thing that we did before with the congestion relief program. But the yellow line indicates to you how we would have to modify. The yellow line represents our risk mitigation of the procurement challenges. And you see how there's a shift from the smaller contracts to the larger contracts, because that's the only way I could deliver the same dollar value of improvement with less risk, is by cutting down the number of contracts, and roughly 18 small contracts equaled one big contract. So you see that here. And, you know, we are going to be working and cooperating very closely with Diversity. We know that these procurement challenges are really the biggest risk that we have right now to this unbundling effort.
Thanks. In addition to the procurement challenges, I think Gustavo mentioned earlier in his presentation that one of the significant barriers that we've heard from the contractor community, particularly the small contractors, is the bonding insurance requirements that we have on our projects. We heard many suggestions from the contractor community with respect to options that we may consider, or some of them included owner-controlled insurance programs, reviewing some of our insurance requirements with respect to the risk for projects, that particularly that were off-road, maybe that we could reduce our insurance requirements. Some of these issues we have already worked with the contractor community on and have addressed some of the concerns in the past. Probably even a larger and more significant barrier for some of the small contractors is performance bonding requirements. They have made some suggestions with respect to maybe phasing or reducing, partially bonding the projects. That has created some conflict with our trust indenture, because we have a trust indenture, as I think Chair Wolf mentioned, written in the 50s, or it was really the 80s, I believe, but where we're required to bond the full amount of all projects over $50,000. But we're working with the contractor community to see if there's a way that we can financially participate or support or identify other federal or state programs that will assist those small contractors in meeting those bonding requirements. It's indicated here we'll work with risk management in my area, law, diversity, to try to move that forward.
I've got a question. On that pool, how do we, the tollway, how could they establish a pool? And if they were to establish a pool for the as far as dollar-wise, what would it be? Would we be able to do something like that, or do we have something in place right now?
Well, we don't, with respect to the owner-controlled insurance program, we have done owner-controlled insurance programs in the past for projects, in which we take the lead in acquiring the insurance coverage for the projects. For the project in total, typically you would want a discrete identifiable project that we could apply that program to, and we could do that on programs like the Elgin O'Hare, for example.
But we've also done other things with respect to trying to increase the liability coverages that the tollway has, so maybe we can reduce some of the coverages that the contractors are required to have.
Another way to look at it. Another question, Paul, on the unbundling and the smaller businesses. Are we seeing more teaming, more joint ventures that are including those businesses because they aren't qualifying for the bigger projects because of these challenges? Are they still basically being brought into the system, so to speak, as far as work through the joint ventures that we're seeing more of? It seems like there's more diversity now in joint ventures.
That is happening. We saw that in our last bulletin with the submittals from the consulting community, especially on the professional services side. There was several joint ventures, I think, that we actually did select, and I think that came as a direct result of we did have several outreach meetings where we were encouraging that, and we were simply encouraging it not only from the minority perspective, but just from the perspective that we're trying to spread the work around as fastly, as quickly as we can, and as efficiently as we can. So, the more teams that were developed and included in the project, the better job they could do of spreading the workload around and the funding.
So that's the consulting side, but we haven't necessarily seen that on construction.
And then your difference is that your consulting side is somewhere under, most recently, under $1 billion. Was that CRP total, or was that in the construction?
The vast majority of dollars are
80% of the dollars approximately going to the construction side. So you may be doing well on the consulting side, but you're only doing so well in terms of total value that gets out into the community.
We do allow joint ventures both on professional service contracts and construction contracts. On the construction side, the downside of the joint ventures is that you feel like, maybe they're not competing then as hard as they would if they were trying to get the job by themselves. But
so we're in a position where we're dealing with the difficulty, with the goal of unbundling and trying to include more small contractors, but we're also faced with a procurement process that is, greatly lengthened the procurement process itself.
Right.
And make it very difficult for us to do the unbundling in a way that's efficient and can stay consistent with our capital plan. And transparency is critical. Competitive bidding is critical. We can't sacrifice that. But I think it would be worth exploring ways of keeping those well tended while also, expediting the process somewhat if we could.
Thanks.
So as businesses are more competitive when they can increase capacity and technical knowledge, some examples of suggestions for assistance include providing training on the bidding process for businesses new to the tollway. We want to provide potential bidders with information that will produce responsive and responsible bids as to avoid getting eliminated on technicalities. We are fortunate that many of the community agencies we met have existing training programs and facilities. We are exploring collaborations to develop a series of how-to workshops and educational sessions. We are working to ensure that we have broad geographical community and industry representation in our partnerships. Our aim is to build on existing partnerships and form new relationships with community groups. Finally, we want to continue the momentum and dialogue with the various stakeholders. Diversity is working closely with engineering, finance, procurement, and law, as well as other government agencies to address the topics listed here. Again, our approach is collaborative. We will be focused on deliberative in reviewing our options to increase access to opportunities at the tollway. And that concludes our presentation.
So one of the things that we did mention is that we will be potentially looking at, it says here on the slide, study a small business program. So just for the benefit of everyone, looking at potentially, a small business program that is based on business size, but could really target and create some opportunities for small and mid-sized companies. And so that we'll start working on that. I know that there will be a lot of different departments here that will need to be involved in that, but we'll certainly keep you posted and come back to you for input as we continue to evaluate that.
I just want to say it's very obvious, and Gustavo, thanks for the information that you put together, because this is what we needed to see, that it's, when you really start looking at it, and the engineering costs, like we said, that you're not going to see $30 or $40 million engineering RFQs or going out there as on the construction site. So you would tend to see that the diversity in the small businesses are going to be fairly represented when it comes to the professional services. But when it comes to the contractual between the zero and the 10 million, if the procurement process stays the way it is, it's pretty obviously that the Move Illinois program will not benefit these minority firms, and it won't even help the small business firms. And I think this is what we need to take out of this, that we need to have some kind of dialogue with our legislators down in Springfield on how we change this procurement process early rather than later. So again, 5 or 10 years, we're not looking, like I said, back on March 22nd at that same slide where these minority firms and these small businesses are going to be left out of this Move Illinois program when it comes to the construction side. So I think us as directors, we should be very, very pro on trying to get a hold of our legislators to see how we can change this procurement process.
Thank you, Director. Any other comments on this segment?
Well, I just want to thank the directors who came to the joint session. I thought it was extremely useful. I know it takes time. It's a really complicated subject, and I think you can see from the people who made the presentations that we have a lot of different entities within the tollway working together on this because it is so complicated. And I think it's also very helpful that the directors are now understanding in detail the conflicting issues here and the tensions that we feel and the way that we are trying to resolve this by making sure, as Director Gonzalez says, that our legislators understand that all some of the well-intentioned legislation on procurement may have actually been interfering with some other well-intentioned goals that we have. So we have to figure out how to work that through. But I really appreciate the directors taking the time to understand this in such detail and the presentations that the staff have done, because they did a lot of number crunching, which is not always easy. Not to mention the fact of what was going to happen, which is almost impossible. So we really thank you on that. Director Peterson?
The Finance Committee met on last week, April 18th, and during the committee meeting, engineering presented 13 items, although we're going to defer one today, and I'll have Paul speak to that briefly. There'll be 9 contracts worth approximately $172 million. They're for design and construction management services. These contracts will allow for the tollway to begin design work this spring. So we are prepared to move the Jane Addams and the Elgin O'Hare West Bypass to the construction phase. Overall, these contracts involve 9 prime consultants and 25 sub-consultants. The diversity commitments on these contracts range from 20% to 83%, somewhere in that range. The remaining 3 contracts included 1 construction contract award to replace a salt dome and another 2 construction contracts, 1 to repair, another 2 construction contracts on which to releasing retainage on contracts that have been completed and accepted. Maybe Paul can speak to the one contract we're going to defer today.
Yeah, I could do, it's item 9, it's a construction management contract. Engineering needs to do some more homework on this, and we're going to ask that the board not vote on this one until we bring it back to you, and hopefully we will be able to return it back to you in next month's board meeting.
Okay. Thank you. The finance, Mike Kelch had a report regarding the insurance coverages. We had one item, renewal of liability insurance program offered through a broker, USI Midwest. The renewal provides primary coverage of $20 million per occurrence and excess liability coverage totaling $130 million from multiple carriers. The renewal cost is $965,339, which represents about a 3.4% increase. And the carrier, I think, is an A-minus rating, I believe, too. We also had 2 presentations. We had the land acquisition presentation from Joanne Fenn, our land acquisition manager. She gave us an overview of the land acquisition process, including a summary of laws and regs that govern those. And we spoke about quick take and eminent domain. And I think, is Joanne going to speak today a little bit?
Just a short
beat. And then we also, John Donato, procurement. Department presented 7 items to the committee that were approved to be placed on the consent agenda today. The items were orders against CMS, the CMS master contract. The rest were procurements that were led by the tollway. We're going to talk a little bit about the streamlining of the procurement process, which is an ongoing dialogue we're having here, as there's a little bit of overlap. John conducted a presentation asking board members to further delegate their approval for authority on procurements that are CMS-led routine commodity items up to $250,000. We're required to utilize the routine CMS-led procurements that are competitively bid, evaluated, and awarded. However, the committee felt comfortable with this dollar amount and delegation, and we asked the tollway staff to report back to us, give us an update ongoing 6 months and 12 months on how this was going to go forward. And John's going to speak to that a little bit more in his presentation today, too. A quick recap on that. You want John or Joanne to go first?
Peter, I think we had a land acquisition for the first one. Is that okay with you, John?
It's great. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you for letting me present again on a topic I hold very dear. So let's start off with the first slide. What we're speaking about in connection with our land acquisition process is some of the items that we bring before the board. As you can see from the slide, these are some of the items that you will either see myself or my colleagues bring forward to you in connection with what we need to do relative to land acquisition. Our items are generally on the agendas for engineering, legal, procurement, and finance. I would say that we're the well-rounded group of the tollway. As a state agency, we must be mindful that taking another's property for public use certainly has constitutional and legal ramifications. As a result of that, we must follow and comply with all laws. Some of those laws are the U.S. Constitution, the Fifth Amendment, which talks about acquiring private property for public use and the need to pay just compensation. The 14th Amendment that extends the takings clause of the Fifth Amendment, where it states that no state shall deprive any person of property. Then we have the Illinois State Constitution, again, a reiteration. Private property shall not be taken or damaged for public use without just compensation. We'll hear that a lot in this particular genre, just compensation, fair market value. Types of interests in land that we acquire, fee simple interest, this is the entire bundle of rights and interests in land. Permanent easements, this is where the owner grants us the use or access in perpetuity over or upon their land, however the owner maintains ownership. We also acquire temporary easements. Being temporary, there is a shelf life. The owner also maintains ownership, and this is an interest that permits our use or access for a specified time. The easiest example is, say, for a construction easement where we need to store soil. We also acquire access control. Tollway is a limited access highway, and public access is a property right that must be obtained through our acquisition process. The access line, or the barrier, the line barrier, if you will, prevents an owner of a remaining tract access to our toll highway system. The commonality with these interests is that when we acquire them for our public use, we must pay the fair market value or the just compensation. Let's talk a little bit about some risks relative to land acquisition. Some of the tantamount issues and risks, in essence, pitfalls with any project will include the tollway acquiring land, especially because of the time that it takes with which to commence the process and complete the process. Other risks include that our acquisition, the land values, all of that must be timed properly and budgeted appropriately. The inability to acquire